You seem to have a real race here. I mean, we had been looking at this as capital observers as to whether or not this was going to turn into a real contest on you. Seems like it has. Tell us how it's going and what your battle plan is.
Well, I think the race is going very well. Our polling indicates that we continue to have a strong lead. But anytime you have an opponent who is able to self-fund his race, and in this case, my opponent has declared he'll spend $5 million, that's a real race.
Tell me about how you may be able to counter that.
Well, I have to say, first and foremost, I'm campaigning like I did when I first ran for the legislature. This is not a race that we're taking lightly. There are a lot of new voters. There are portions of this district that I have not represented for a long period of time as a result of the most recent redistricting. And so we're out there not only waging a grassroots campaign, knocking doors and doing all the things there, but we are on radio, we're on TV, heavy direct mail, phone bank operations. There's not an element of the campaign that we're missing, and we are running a very aggressive campaign. I mean, look, it's no secret after this many years in public office, and never having been defeated in election, I certainly don't want to I don't want to close down my political career in Austin with a defeat. We intend to win, and the polling indicates that we're headed toward a victory. But it's a hard-fought battle, and frankly, it's a battle we're having to fight every single day, given the attacks that we continue to have to deflect from my opponent.
Let me ask you about one of those attacks. The chief attack from your opponent seems to be, and I'm not here in Dallas all the time, but we have seen some of the mail pieces. I've heard your opponent on the radio. First thing out of his mouth is, "Here's John Corona, the man who supported the Barack Obama freeway." Now, I've heard your explanation of this, and it makes sense to me. I've seen how committees work. You had a hearing. You didn't even have a vote on it. I mean, you could also argue John Corona killed the bill, right? But tell me what you make of the fact that that's this big attack from your opponent, that's the first thing out of his mouth when he says what he has a problem with you.
Well, I think first off, it's certainly not an issue of substance. He's clearly misrepresented the real facts of the issue. People, are quickly realizing there is no Barack Obama highway. There never was even a vote. I think in
You mean
part.
you're not out front with your thumbs up?
No,
No? Okay, all right.
despite the direct mail pieces he sent out, we've already sent out direct mail to counter it, and it's not successful. People ultimately, I think, look past these kind of issues, and they want to know what the candidates say on the real issues that matter. Transportation, water, schools. I mean, there's a long list of important issues we face in the state. And so most people, I think, recognize issues like this as the smokescreen that it is. But I will tell you, I think there's a little bit of old-fashioned race baiting in this too. It is no coincidence that this opponent would talk about not only President Obama, but at every opportunity would talk about the favorable relations that I have with Senator West, working together for the good of this community. And so, these are all the darker sides of politics, and at the moment, the darker side of the Republican primary. But I'm really encouraged by the fact that we're seeing large turnouts at our receptions. People are coming in, and the first conversation is how enraged they are about the type of negative campaign that's being run against me. And Reagan's 11th commandment, if we all recall, was "Thou shalt not speak ill of fellow Republicans." And
Right.
so the opponent has clearly broken that. And it's not that you don't see that in campaigns, but he has gone to such extremes here. He's yet to talk about a major issue. It's all these are all small issues he talks about, and he doesn't say vote for me. He says vote against John Corona. People in general don't respond favorably to a campaign like that.
You have talked a lot, and I'm paraphrasing, but you've talked a lot about the need in this particular district, which is, as I understand it, is the least Republican-leaning Senate district in Texas to be represented by a Republican. Is that right?
That's correct.
You've talked about the need to represent the temperament of the district as a whole. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, I just think it's the duty, frankly, of all of us, although sometimes elected officials in partisan situations forget. But while I'm proud to be elected as a Republican, and certainly I'm a conservative, and I'm proud of that as well, I've got a duty to reflect viewpoints in Austin for all of the constituency. And if I were to be a hard right Republican, as some of my colleagues are, respectfully, You know, it would not set well in this district. This is a district that's Republican, but it's also a district of traditional Republicans, mainstream Republicans, if you will. And one of the reasons why I think I have not had Democrat opponents, in fact, in this election, there's not a general election Democrat, is because the Democrats realize that while I can't agree with them on every issue, our ideology is simply different. I always treat them with respect. I always sit down and listen to what the Democrat voters in the district have to say. And you know, that is becoming increasingly a rarity in politics. And so it means that when, you know, opportunities come up to run against me, the Democrat Party really has to stop and think twice about whether or not that would be good, and who might be there to replace me on the Republican side of the ledger were I not here.